The sermon this morning is entitled, Two Worlds. There are two scripture readings. The first reading is from 1 Peter 2, verses 11 and 12. I'm reading this morning from today's Living Bible. For this particular reading, you can find it in the Pew Bible at page 984. Listen as I read from 1 Peter 2, beginning at verse 11. Dear brothers, you are only visitors here, since your real home is in heaven. I beg you to keep away from the evil pleasures of this world. They are not for you, for they fight against your very souls. Be careful how you behave among your unsaved neighbors, for then, even if they are suspicious of you and talk against you, you will end up praising God. They will end up praising God for your good works when Christ returns. And then the gospel reading is the reading suggested from the lectionary in chapter 3, beginning at verse 13. It is the baptism of Jesus. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Let us pray as we come to the message this morning. O Lord, we know that we cannot live simply by bread alone. And so feed us this morning through your living word to us, made known in Jesus Christ and recorded in the Holy Scriptures. May we feed upon it. For it's in Christ's name we ask this. Amen. The baptism of Jesus was a marker event in Jesus' life. There were many marker events, and this is one of the very first ones. The baptism of Jesus signaled the beginning of his ministry in the world he came to save. And yet we learn, if we read from John's gospel in the very first chapter, that he came to this world and his own received him not. As someone has put it, it seemed like the welcome mat was never out for Jesus. Jesus, who came to earth, never quite fit in here, not in this world. We had a hint of this just a few weeks ago in the readings of Christmas. We read about the maniac King Herod, who, when he learned of Jesus' birth, sought to have all the male children killed in order to try to kill the Messiah. And the Holy Family was warned in a dream to Joseph, and they left and escaped to Egypt. Note with me that Jesus' public ministry only lasted 3 years. He went from popularity to suspicion to execution. He died at 33 years of age, only 3 years. How soon we forget that. His public ministry, only 3 years from the time of his baptism until his death. His was not a success story in terms of how the world defines success. He always, however, seemed to have one foot firmly planted on earth, the other firmly planted in heaven. In some ways, he was a stranger, an alien, a stranger to our culture, just as the letter from 1 Peter calls us to be sort of resident aliens. That's the message this morning. We live in two worlds. We, as Jesus followers, are also called to have one foot on earth and one in heaven. As I mentioned last Sunday, one of the lessons we learned from the story of the wise men following the star to find baby Jesus, one of the lessons is that we're not to be earthbound. We're to look heavenward for our direction. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying this morning. I believe with all my mind and heart that we are to love the world that we are in. I really do believe that. We're to love this world. Remember, Jesus didn't join a monastery. He was part of real life. He went to marriage feasts. He had meals with those he trusted. And when his throat was parched and dry, he drank from the well. He was a human being just like us, and he suffered just like we do. Jesus loved life in this world. He enjoyed all the juices of this world, but he also knew sorrows. He also knew suffering. He also wept, we're told, for his best friend Lazarus when he died. He suffered just as we do. I have long been fascinated by the marker events of Jesus' life, those moments in Jesus' life when the veil of his identity is revealed and we see the Son of God in all of his glory. We see that in this story of the baptism of Jesus. This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. And the Holy Spirit descends like a dove. What a radiant light that must have been. There's another story that also fascinates me. It's the story of his transfiguration when he went up on that high mountain with Peter, James, and John. And on that high mountain, his identity again was revealed, and he shone as brilliant as the Son of God, the Son of glory. And you remember, Peter, James, and John, all they wanted to do was to build three booths and stay on that mountain. It has always struck me that Jesus said no to their request to stay on the mountain, secluded from the world. Instead, Jesus came down from the mountain and he immediately took to his ministry of healing and teaching. Just read the story. He does. Jesus going back into the world in that story has always served as a model for the church's ministry, even to the present day. And what I mean by that is when God calls people to serve in his kingdom, he doesn't keep them in his kingdom. He sends them out to preach and teach the gospel of his love. Note, after his baptism, when his identity is revealed in all its glory as the Son of God, in Matthew's gospel, as we read this morning, he immediately goes into the wilderness and is tested by the evil one for 40 days. And when he comes out after 40 days, the first thing he does is he begins to preach good news and call his disciples. He goes into the world. He came into the world because God so loved the world. And we are called to love the world as well. Life, you see, life is God's good gift to us. And it is ingratitude not to love the world that we've been given. And it is because of Jesus we're called to love the world, perhaps even more than we do. And this is why the Presbyterian Church, along with other Christian traditions, are involved in so much in ministry around the world. The Presbyterian Church, like other churches, is involved in tearing down racial barriers, giving voice to the voiceless, and seeking to feed the hungry, both physically and spiritually, in ways that lead to justice for all. And while any one congregation cannot answer the call on every issue of social justice with our sister Presbyterian churches and others, we are involved in fighting for environmental justice and the stopping of human trafficking around the globe. And we're putting money to it as a denomination. Just this past week, there were Presbyterian leaders that returned from Europe where the United Nations met. They were asking many countries, the large countries in particular, to reduce their carbon dioxide footprint on the planet. And they failed. They were not very happy. But they're involved in calling for justice in so many ways. All you have to do is go to the PCUSA, our denomination's website, and you can read about the issue of your heart's desire. And there are a multitude of injustices that the church everywhere is facing at this time. And believe you me, that's true whether or not you hear it from me on Sunday morning in the simple 20 minutes that I get. It's happening. And by the way, I want to thank you because of all the years I've been here thus far, you have never told me how to vote. And I will always seek to return that favor to you. I will, however, always call you to practice your civic responsibility and to vote. Well, I'll go on. We have missionaries that are serving even now in the Middle East, one in particular in Iraq that we support him and his family, but we cannot name him in our publications to keep he and his family safe. But we are there in the Middle East through a missionary even today. There are others in the Presbyterian Church who are advocates to the United Nations in the Washington office of the Presbyterian Church who are calling for justice and who are calling for peace with the people in Iran. And that's good news. We are called, you see, to love God's creation. We are called to love God's creatures, and we are called to love all those who are made in the very image of God. The other side of this, which is really the crux of the problem, is that this world is limited for us. It is limited by the joy it can give us, the peace it can give us, and the wholeness that it just cannot give us alone. And there are way too many people in this day and time who count on nothing else but this passing world. It was the theologian Karl Barth who said, "We as Christians should hold the newspaper in one hand and the Bible in the other. Two worlds." And as Christians, we have two zip codes. What kind of support, what kind of direction do you think that other zip code gives us this morning? I'll tell you. First, consider that our strength and support, it comes from that other zip code. Jesus, over and over, time and time again, his teachings challenge us about relying only on the things of this world. He said it in so many ways, you cannot serve two masters. He says to you and me today, whoever comes unto him will never hunger and never thirst again. He satisfies our deepest longings if we allow him in. Strength for the spirit, strength for our souls, it comes from regular worship and regular prayer, regular inner renewal. And there is hardly a self-help book or a self-help program nowadays that doesn't talk about the importance of spirituality and nurturing faith. We need to be about recreation and not just about recreation or sleeping in all day Sunday. Note with me that Jesus practiced prayer. If you note even his last seven words on the cross, four of the seven were prayers to his heavenly Father. He had the encouragement here in this story from his heavenly Father at his baptism. And the good news of that story is that we have his encouragement in our own baptism as well, because he claims us as his children. Second, Jesus shows us that our style of living comes not from this world, but from another world. Jesus said clearly, he taught, turn the other cheek. Turn the other cheek when you are insulted, or go the second mile to help someone. Those are not teachings of this world. They're teachings from another world. Christian ethics, by the way, have nothing to do with just feeling good about what we're doing in life. It has nothing to do about feelings. It has everything to do about making a commitment to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life and how you behave in this world. Thirdly, because Jesus came to this world, we have hope. We have hope in another world. This earth, this pale blue dot in the universe, as it's been called, this pale blue dot is not our true and final home. We know that death comes. However, death does not have the last word. Death only has the next to last word. A number of years ago, actually 7 years, I looked it up, I told you a story that has been printed and reprinted from the Reader's Digest, and it is worth remembering and fits our theme so well today. It's also, in a recent loss in our family, it's become a new favorite. The story unfolds in the days when you could get a real person when you dialed 0 on the telephone. You remember that? You remember those days when you had to wait until the weekends to get the cheaper rates when you called long distance, or you waited until 7 p.m. to get the cheaper rates? I well remember that. Many people this morning coming out of our first two services asked me, do you remember party lines? Yes, I do. We had the short ring in our house. Well, way back then, there was a telephone service called information. And a child named Mary became fascinated with information, please. She knew that her mother got all sorts of information by calling the operator. If the clock stopped running, she called information, please, to get the time of day and reset the clock. Remember that? If they didn't know the neighbor's telephone number or someone down the street, you could call the operator and ask for Miss Smith's telephone number, and they'd give it to you. And so if Mary's mother wasn't around, she got the idea she would call information, please, if she needed an answer. And once Mary, she was quite a tomboy, she banged her finger with a hammer, and she was crying, and all of a sudden she looked up and she noticed the telephone, and she said, I'll call information about what to do. And she did. And the operator said, what's wrong? And Mary said, I banged my finger with a hammer. And the operator said, is it bleeding? And she said, no. And she said, well, go to the ice box. What an old story this is. Go to the ice box and get an ice cube and put it on your finger. And she did, and it helped. Well, after that, as you can imagine, there developed a long relationship with Mary and an operator that she called frequently named Sally. Mary would call Sally for help with her geography homework when she wanted to know the capital of a state. Sally seemed to always know the answer. And so Mary called her anytime anything significant happened in her life. When her pet canary died, she was heartbroken and called Sally at information, please. And Sally told Mary all the things an adult would tell a child who lost a favorite pet. But Mary continued to cry, and Sally said, Mary, don't cry for your canary. Remember, there are other worlds to sing in. And Mary felt better. And then one day, Mary moved with her family from California and her hometown there all the way to Boston. And when she got to Boston, she noted quickly that the telephone company there didn't have the same information please service that she had enjoyed in her hometown in California. Years later, Mary had grown up and become a young woman, and she found herself again on the West Coast in an airport of all places, and she thought about calling Sally, the operator. And so she called her hometown, and after several attempts, she finally got Sally on the telephone. And Sally said, "Mary, how's your finger?" And they shared with one another their fondness that they had for one another over the years, and they vowed to be in touch more often. And then Mary got on the plane and went back home to Boston. Well, 5 months later, she was back again in the same location, and she called again to ask for her friend Sally. She tried and tried, but this time Mary could not find Sally on the phone. And finally, the new operator, talking to Mary, said, "Is your name Mary?" And Mary answered, "Yes, it is." Then the voice of the stranger said, "Sally had not been well in recent months, and she died just a few weeks ago. But she left a message for you. Here it is. You tell Mary when she calls that I believe there are other worlds to sing in." And Mary hung up. Did she understand? Do we understand? That because Jesus came into this world, there's another world in which we will sing. Praise be to God. Amen.